All right, look what it says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. How? Through faith. Praise God. All right, now, redeemed. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. What is the curse? It's threefold. We said the curse is poverty, sickness, and death, or spiritual death. So it's threefold. And what happened? Jesus became a curse for us. He became a curse for us. Over in Isaiah chapter 53, he says, in verse 4, he says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. That word sorrows, one of the translations of that word sorrows in the Hebrew is punishment. See, he took the punishment we deserve for the broken laws of God. But what happened is he took them, and we have to receive that by faith that they were done so that we could get released from that and get the healing power of God, deliverance power of God into our lives. Now, you'll understand that as I work my way on down. So Adam was the representative for the entire human race. And God told Adam, don't eat of a certain tree. If he did, the day that he eat of it, he would surely die. Adam disobeyed God, ate of the tree, and guess what? He died. He died both spiritually and later on, he died physically. So the Bible says because of Adam's sin, death went and spread to every man, to all men. So he was our representative. His actions affected everybody in a very negative way. Now, Jesus, fast forwarding now a few thousand years, Jesus came and he came to redeem us. The Bible calls him the last Adam. It was a man that lost the earth. Now it's got to be a man to get it back. So the Bible says in John 3:16, so God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now, we've been redeemed from poverty, sickness, and death. Now, if we don't know how to walk in line with that plan, then the outcome is that we will walk in the curse of poverty and sickness and death. If we don't know how to walk in line with that, see, this is the piece that we've got to be taught. He said, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Now, let's go over to 2 Corinthians, if you will. 2 Corinthians, a few doors back, just backwards, a few pages. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I want you to see this. It's very important. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Let me know when you get there. And look at verse 9. For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be what? Rich. All right. Now let's break this down, because you're going to have help to misunderstand this. And we've had plenty of help. The grace of God, that's something you didn't deserve, that the Lord Jesus Christ was rich, and for your sakes, he became poor, so that you through his poverty might be what? Rich. So God's will for his people is that they be what? Rich. Now, rich means abundant supply. Jesus said, I've come that they might have life and have it how? More abundantly. Now, you can say, now, rich also means abundance of, it could mean rich in revelation knowledge. It could mean rich in love, Pastor. It means rich and so forth and so on. I understand that. But he said the blessing of Abraham. And the blessing of Abraham, we found out, is not a spiritual blessing. Because Abraham wasn't born again, he could not be blessed spiritually. He had to be blessed naturally. And the blessing of Abraham has come on the Gentiles, which is you and me. So the same way Abraham was blessed, I'm blessed. The same way Abraham was blessed, you're blessed. So I had to go back and find out, how was Abraham blessed? Come on back over here to Genesis, and Genesis chapter 13, please. Genesis chapter 13. Now, this is when Abram started following God. His name had not been changed to Abraham yet. But here he was following God, and he went on down to Egypt, really, trying to get protection or trying to get make sure that he could take care of himself. And that's one of the things that you must understand in terms of when we connect up with God and have a covenant with God, is that God does not want the world to take credit for making you successful. I'll say it again. God does not want the world to take credit for making you successful. One more time. God does not want the world to take credit for making you successful. All right, now let's look at this. It's found in Genesis chapter 13 and verse 1. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, unto the south. And Abraham was a little bit rich. Abraham was very rich in cattle, silver and gold. Now, I wanted you to underline the fact very rich, because God was, what he is doing for Abram was blessing him. And we call it the blessing of Abraham because he said it and mentioned it in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, that I'm going to make you a great nation, I'll bless you and make your name great. And thou shalt be a blessing, and I'm going to bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. So here, Abraham, the Bible says in one other translation, the Amplified translation, extremely rich. Am I right about that? Somebody who has an So God made Abraham extremely rich. Now, you really gotta watch this, because if you're not careful, you'll lose sight of why he's making you extremely rich. Because he said in Genesis 12, come on back over, that verse 2, I will make of thee a great nation, I'll bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt what? You're going to be a blessing. I'm blessing you and making you extremely rich so that you can be a blessing. I'm going to make you extremely rich so that you can be a blessing. Now, I'll deal with that just a little bit, but this was Canaan. See, this was Canaan. He finally came back up to Canaan. And we look at Canaan, remember, Can I just jump ahead? You going to follow me. Am I right about it? You going to follow me. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 7, please. Deuteronomy chapter 7. No. Look at Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. Come on, this is going to be good today. You had enough sleep. Many of you don't have to go to work tomorrow. Amen. So you got it. It's all good. All you got to do is sit up and take nourishment now. All right. Look what it says in Numbers chapter 13. Look what it said. Now, Moses sent out 12 spies. Am I right about it? And they went out and spied out the land of Canaan. Say the land of Canaan. And they came back and gave a report. They said, verse 28, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. The cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Now, these were giants, remnants of the giants. And the Amalekites dwell in the land to the south, the Hittites and the Jebusites. The Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Watch this next verse. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against these people, for they are what? Stronger than we are. Now, just stop right there. Go all the way over now to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Let me know when you get there. Verse 1. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land, whether you go in to possess it, that's the land of Canaan, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations, what? Greater and mightier than thou. Coming over to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Let me know when you get there. No, make it Deuteronomy chapter 9. Verse 1. Hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over Jordan this day to go into possess nations, what? Greater and mightier than thyself. Cities great and fenced up to heaven. And people great and tall. Now, my point to you is, didn't God know that these people were mightier than his people? Now, so if he knew that, why was he sending them in there? Now, I just gave you a hint. I told you that God does not want the world or any person to take credit for making you successful. He is leading you into problems you can't solve. Come on now. He's leading you into a battle you can't win. He's leading you to a piece of property you can't afford. Are you following what I'm saying? Why? So no flesh can glory in his presence. Man, this is something. See, when you get that in your spirit, then you know when he says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he's going to direct your path. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 20. Look at that. Deuteronomy chapter 20. I told you, every time I preach this, I preach something different. Because I see something different. Deuteronomy chapter 20, 2-0. Let me know when you get there. Verse 1. When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, and seeth horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them. For the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Verse 4. For the Lord your God is he that goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. In your Bible, put it in there, to give you victory. That's what it says in the Hebrew, to give you victory. Say, I got the victory. But you can't say that in your own strength, because they are much mightier than you are. You got what I'm saying? So he's giving you something. He's making you rich. He's empowering you. He's doing some things. Why? Because you're going in to fight a battle that you can't win. It wasn't made for you to win it. He's going to win it. He doesn't want to take you into a battle you can win, because you're going to say, look what I did. He's going to take you into a battle he can win. Now, this really helps you. Because before we got on the victim mentality. We had all our, you know, we're looking, we can no longer look at ourselves as just flesh and bone. But we are children of God, that God has delivered us or redeemed us from failure. Let me show you a scripture. Turn, boy, I'm just all over the place now. Turn to John chapter 13, please. John chapter 13. I think it's 13. John chapter, that ain't it. John chapter 16. Let me know when you get there. Praise God. Say amen to this. Amen. See, making you rich was not your idea. It was God's idea. But it was God's idea because God had a plan for making you rich. He's got a big problem you're going to solve. And money answereth, come on, all things. Look what it says here in John chapter 16, verse 33. These things, last verse, have I spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace, might have peace. And in the world you shall have tribulation, meaning affliction or trouble or pressures. But be of good cheer, I have what? Overcome the world. Now let me give you what it says in another translation. I have deprived Satan of his ability to hurt or destroy you or to make you fail. I have deprived Satan of his ability to hurt or destroy you or to make you fail. Now, why am I saying that? Because one of the things that the enemy does in us going in and being able to take our inheritance and us being able to manifest the blessing of Abraham is the enemy comes in to try to work his plan to try to either deceive us or to try to set a system up to quarantine us or to enslave us. Now, I want to deal with all three of these, but let me say this first. God has redeemed you from poverty. Now, you can be poor if you want to be. You got what I'm saying? God has made you a free moral agent, and you are free in his eyes, and you decide. You decide what you are going to settle for in life. You decide what level you're going to be content with. You decide how high you want to climb, how rich you want to be, how big you want your business to go. You decide what kind of lifestyle gives you fulfillment. You decide how long you want to live, how much respect you want to get, and what goals you want to reach. You decide that. Now, I'm saying that God will let you be poor if you want to be poor. And the reason why is because he'll free. And he won't make you be rich. So in this, if you don't know how to walk in line with God's plan, then the outcome is that you're going to walk in the curse of poverty. A lot of times we're struggling to be rich. And you don't have to struggle to be rich. That is a deception. You do not have to struggle to be rich. Did Abraham struggle when he went down there to Egypt? He lied about the fact that he didn't tell Pharaoh that was his wife. He told him it was his sister. And then he came out of there and God made him how rich? Very rich. No struggle. I'm telling you folks, the deception is that you got to work for it. You are working, but you're not working for a living. You ain't working for an inheritance. Inheritance is yours because somebody gave it to you. Now, I want you to see something here. Now, so let's deal first, because people talk about, well, that's not the will of God that everybody be rich. Well, if you're poor, I'm talking about in the body of Christ now. I'm not talking about people in the world. You're poor because you're ignorant of God's covenant or how to appropriate what's available for you in your life. Now, listen. I'm not talking down to you. I'm telling you the truth. Because we've had a victim mentality saying, I'm poor because I'm black. Once you come into the kingdom, that goes away. Because you've been redeemed. folks say, I'm poor because I'm Spanish. I'm poor because I came from across the tracks. And I told people, you can be born on the tracks. But if you in the kingdom of God, brother, you've been redeemed from the curse of poverty. I'm poor because of the nation I'm living in. I live in Africa. I live in Haiti. It doesn't make any difference. If the blessing of Abraham has come on you, God will prosper you on the top of a mountain. Now, my point is that some people, I'm poor. Well, this is happening to me because the Democrats are in. This is happening to me because the Republicans. Don't make any difference. Doesn't make any difference. Come on back over to Joshua chapter 1. Doesn't make any difference. See, God is not sending us here to take sides. He's sending us here to take over. And whatever side it is, don't make no difference with me. It won't be able to stop me. God, it doesn't make any difference. Now, I want the righteous in authority, because when the righteous in authority, the people can rejoice. But the devil can't stop me. See, that's deception, and the enemy telling you because this or that, because such and such in the office is over, then you stop. You're not stopped. What's stopping you is your ignorance. And I'm going to tell you how to get out of it if you'll sit here and take it. Look what it said in the book of Joshua. Book of Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5. And there shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. And there shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. And there shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. I will not fail you, come on, or forsake you. So what has happened? We've come into a blaming generation. And that's a spirit, and it'll try to come on you. And the next thing you know is it'll try to spread to you, to your household, and cause you not to prosper. Now, I'm telling you right now, so don't let anybody come in and tell you. Now, there's a reason for the prosperity. That's the key. Because there's an integrity with God. And what has happened is people many times don't want to hear this, especially folks who really need it. Because their minds have been so brainwashed until sometimes it's just almost frustrating. You're trying to teach them and tell them something because, you know, this is not hard, folks. This is not rocket science. This is, you can get this anytime. It says this. Now, listen to what I'm saying. The misunderstanding. Where does the misunderstanding come from? One of the main things that has happened, as again, has been Satan, because he wanted to deceive. And many times what he'll do is he'll put people in your path that will teach you something out of their own spirit versus out of the spirit of God. And when they came back from spying out Canaan, they had two different reports. Now, how could you see the same thing I saw and you have something different? So you know something's wrong with it. Now, my point is, they're looking in the same Bible I'm looking at, and the next thing they tell you is you're not supposed to be rich. And the Bible just said, Jesus, who was rich, became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. And they're going to look at the same scripture I'm looking at and then take a poverty vow. Now, you look at this. I'm going to show you where the enemy has been getting away with this. Let's go over here to Romans, please, and Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, praise God in heaven, the devil is a liar. Romans chapter 10, we got him on the ropes, folks. We're going to kill him too, in the name of Jesus. Now, you better hear what I'm saying, because God will allow you to be sick. God will allow you to be broke. Let me ask you a question. When Adam was in the garden, didn't God tell him don't eat of the tree? Yep. Did he eat of it? Did God come in there and knock the fruit out of his hand? Nope. He allowed him to eat of the tree and the whole humanity to fall. He will allow you to be sick. He will allow you to be broke. And he'll allow you to do it for as long as you're in the earth. And if you don't know how to appropriate this, the curse will come in. The devil is out there to keep you in bondage. That's his whole thing. He wants to keep you enslaved. Now, all I got to do is teach you and you follow it. That's all you got to do. And I didn't say he gonna bless you and you gonna have all of this if you got a Harvard degree. I got nothing against Harvard University, but I'm going to tell you something. That is not what's going to put you on top. What's going to put you on top is not your degree, but your revelation. Don't ever forget that. You see, it's going to make some folk mad because they done paid all this money for all that, and nothing wrong with that. But if they got all of that without all of this, then they ain't going nowhere. The devil still got control of them. See, I'm telling you, it's going to be tough. That's why he said that a lot of people that are high up and so forth, they ain't going to want to hear this. They ain't going to want to hear it. But watch what's going to happen. Watch what's going to happen. Joseph was raised up out of prison to prime minister with no resume. What raised him up? What raised him up? Revelation raised him up. Revelation will raise you up. Whoever's got revelation goes to the top. Whoever's got revelation gonna lead the pack. Whoever's got revelation gonna get the goods. Whoever's got revelation, I'm telling you, the enemy, glory to God. Are y'all still here with me? Man, I'm preaching now. I have nothing against education, but you were never supposed to get an education without revelation. Never. Education is intellect. I can get in the same situation that you get into, and I got revelation. And let's say I'm a physician, and I can get in that operating room, and I can stand back and listen for the Holy Ghost. He'll tell me, make the incision the other way. Don't use the normal clinical procedure. Back off of that and make it just laterally and dorsally. That's right. That'll work for an electrician, work for a bricklayer, work for a plumber, work for, it doesn't make any difference, folks. You were never meant to get revelation, education without some revelation. This Bible's supposed to be the backbone of what you ever get. And those schools that were started, Harvard and Yale and all of them, look who they were started by. They were started by ministers. Look how many times they were supposed to read the scriptures a day. But all that's gone now. It's all pure intellect. Now, I'm not talking about the school, but I'm saying most of our schools, and we got to come back to God. And that's why you're coming in here. You're coming in here to get the spiritual part of that you didn't get when you were in that school. All right, let me just, can I continue on here? All right, look what it says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. How should they call on him whom they have not believed? And how can they believe on him whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without a who? Preacher. Now the preacher is supposed to preach it. He's supposed to teach the people, and they're supposed to get the information and revelation that they need so that they can prosper. Come on over here with me to Matthew chapter 15, please. Matthew 15. Lord, have mercy. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew chapter 15, the devil is a liar. Do you realize what the devil put up against me to try to get us from getting this mall? All kinds of stuff. They changed the zoning. Told me that so forth and we couldn't get it and this and that and came up with all these things. And here I was trying to get in here and I had to go and pray in the Holy Ghost. And come up with a strategy from the Holy Ghost as to how to get in here. And I'm in here. Now none of that came from my education. None of that came from time in school and so forth. None of that came from that. It came from another source. Yes, Lord. Glory to God. Now, the only reason I'm saying it, and I'm trying to give this to you so that you can realize this. What has happened, that's why when I go places, Lord have mercy. Yes, Lord. Can I just talk? real plain today. That's why he said the last are going to become first. Because the people that have been investing in all the world stuff not going to want to hear this. They don't want to hear it. Man, they got too much money spending that education. Spent $50,000 getting educated. What you talking about? A semester. You telling me so forth? I'm telling you now, it's going to challenge. Why? So no flesh can glory in his presence. You're not going to be able to get human credit for it. He's not going to give it to you based on that. You got to hear what I'm saying. And they were saying, well, you know, the leadership over there is prejudiced. That don't make no difference. Racism will be here when I'm gone. That's why it don't affect me. See, I know that if I get enough money, you won't look at my color no more. See, I know, I got sense enough to know that. Come on now. If I get myself about $8, $10, $12 billion, you'll let me come to dinner. Am I right about it? Money answereth all things. That's no reason for people to be racially prejudiced and so forth, but I'm just saying, I can get past it. I mean, there are people sitting down with me now, couldn't sit down with me when I first came here. But they sit down with me now. I said, they'll sit down with me now. Because I got a little money in my pocket now. But they see all of this. And it speaks louder than my color. Well, you get it, praise God. How many of y'all know money talks? All right. I won't say the other part. Now look at it. Now, let's look at this. I'm saved. All right. Now, let's look at this. Now, listen, don't. All right. Now, here's where, let's go. Where did I tell you to go? Where? All right, look what it says here in verse 14. I'm going to read that and I'm going to get off of it because I got somewhere for you to go. Look at verse 14. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, what will happen to them? Both will fall into the ditch. And that's what's been happening. People have been teaching the wrong thing, see. They've been teaching it based on their intellect. And this is, you're not made to arrive at God through your intellect. If that were the case, people could go to God without God in giving them grace to come to him. And that's not the way it works. You got to come to God based on God's ability. You and I never couldn't even been saved if it weren't for God's ability. We couldn't find our way back to God if you left us here for 20,000 years. You could never find your way back to God. It's by grace are you saved. God had to find you. All right, let me just show you something else. So let's go on over here now and let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 16, please. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Are you still here?
Yeah.
Y'all still love me?
Yeah.
See, there are people that don't want to hear this. Boy, they don't want to hear this stuff. They get out of here. They say, man, I'm getting out of here. I ain't going to stay in this place no more. Well, go ahead. Praise God. I'm going to preach the word of God. I'm gonna bring it like it's supposed to be brought. I'm not going to let you make me cow down like you made that other preacher cow down. You ain't going to do it in here. Best thing you can do in here is get deliverance from that Jezebel spirit. Now, let me look at this. All right, come on. That wasn't in my notes. All right, look what it said. Now, this is when Samuel had anointed Saul, and Saul was going to lead the children of Israel. Now, that was the children's choice. That wasn't God's choice. He gave them the leader that they wanted. So now here's Saul, and he's leading the people, but he got rebellious. Now, God then was taking the anointing off of him and placing it on who? David. Got it? But look here at this scripture, verse 14. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. Now, where did it say this evil spirit was from? The Lord. Now, this makes it look like the Lord is out here with evil, putting evil spirits on people. That's not true. The translation from the Hebrew over into the English makes it look like that. But I told you there were two verbs, the causative and the permissive. What God will cause to happen and what God will permit to happen. Question: did he permit Adam to sin? Yep. And he'll permit you to do it, and he'll permit you to be broke, and he'll permit you to be sick for the rest of your days. That is not his will, but he will permit it because you're free. Got it? Now, when that spirit came on Saul, Saul was anointed. Now the anointing lifts off of him and leaves a void, which one spirit comes to get in, an evil spirit. So God permitted that to happen. You got what I'm saying? So when people say, well, you know what happened to Job, God was the... No. See, again, permitted. Permitted. And God didn't cause that to Job. To happen to Job? Job caused that to happen to Job. All you have to do is read further in the scriptures. It just said, they said the thing that I feared most has come upon me. Then in chapter 6 of Job, he said this, teach me and I'll hold my tongue. Show me where I erred. God is for you. The Bible says over in Mark chapter 10, we read it, God is good. How long? All the time. Turn to James chapter 1, please. James chapter 1. Amen. Amen. James chapter 1. He is good all the time. All right, look what it says in James chapter 1. Let me know when you get there by saying praise the Lord. Look what it says in verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in with whom there is no what? Variableness, neither what? Shadow of turning. Verse 13, let no man say when he's tempted, or you can put in your Bible, tested or tried, he's tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he what? Any man. He's not tempting anybody with evil. Look at James chapter 4. Come on over. Verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore unto God. Do what else? Resist the devil, and what will the devil do? The devil will flee from you. Well, if you don't know it is the devil, how are you going to resist it? Because that's what people do. See, they get sick and they say, God is testing me. God is chastening me. God is so forth and so on. And as a result of that, then they allow this thing to come in without resisting it with the word of God and so forth and so on. And a lot of people have met an early grave because they thought God was trying to do something with it. And God is good how long? Yeah, all the time. God doesn't have sickness. You asked me, you said, Pastor Winston, can you give me $5 billion? I said, no, I can't give it to you right now. Why? Because I don't have it. He can't give you sickness. He doesn't have it. He can't give you what he doesn't have. And the Bible says there is no variableness. That means he doesn't get up on one side of the bed one morning and another side the next morning and say, well, you know, I hate that boy. I can't stand that boy. I'm going to beat that boy over the head. God doesn't do that. God is love. And he's love all the time. In him there is no variableness or shadow of turning. So you see what people have done. They have misread the scriptures and they have thought God was causing it when God was permitting it. And God will permit whatever you permit. He said, whatever you bind on earth, come on, I bound already out of heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, what? I permit it in heaven. I'm saying this thing of binding and loosing is up to you, and this permission and causative, I'm telling you, you got to get the difference between that, because if you don't know the difference, the next thing you know is that God is trying to do something with you, and you open the door for the enemy to get in on your life. Now, here's what Satan does. One, he builds a distorted image of his ability. Hebrews chapter 2, please. That's the next verse before James. The next book before James, the book next door to James. Hebrews chapter 2. Distorted image. Somebody say distorted image. All right, look at this distorted image that he builds. Look at verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part in the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Underline had. What does had mean? It means he doesn't have it anymore. Jesus stripped him. How do I know that? Come on over to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. He had. Verse 18 of Revelation chapter 1. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive evermore, forevermore. Amen. And have the keys to what? Hell and death. He stripped Satan of the keys. Where can I find that? Come on over here to Colossians chapter 2. I'm slow walking the devil on out of your life. See, if you've been on the road to Mississippi for 40 years and you ain't got there yet, you're still as broke as you were when you first started. You're on the wrong road. So we need to get you on the right road and get some revelation in your life so you can prosper, because it's not hard. I said it's not hard. Let me know when you get there. Colossians chapter 2, please. Use a table of contents. Colossians chapter 2. Now this is when Jesus was raised up from the dead. Look what he did. Verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. In other words, what we owed, Jesus took. He took the debt that we owed, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoil means stripped, principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Now, what was he doing? Jesus went to hell for us. When he went, he took every curse that had come into him on the cross and deposited them in hell, and was the first man born from death to life. Adam was born the first man from life to death, but Jesus went in through death's door and got you and me and were born again. And once he was born again, the first thing that he did was defeat Satan in open combat. He stripped him of everything he stole from Adam, including the authority over this planet. And once he did that, he had the keys to death and hell. Now he spoils Satan, and the Bible says made a show of him openly. That means he marched him down the road like the Roman army did when they went out and they plundered the enemy, and then they got all the goods and marched the enemy down when they had a big parade, and they marched the enemy down the street, and they had chains around their neck, and they had the enemy, and after the enemy, they had the goods, and they marched it all down the street and marched it before the king. I'm here to tell you right now, Satan been stripped. Now, how much power does he have now over you? N-O-N-E. None. Now, stop treating him like he does. Stop thinking big bad devil. He's not. He has no power. God. He started out in a garden as a snake and ended up in Revelation as a dragon. How did he get that big? Through men's imagination. And he did it himself through having people, the devil is wearing me out. He's busy. Like this man one time, he came into church out of breath. Oh, I sure got the devil on the run. They said, oh, praise the Lord. Well, the only thing about it, he's chasing me. You know, the idea about it, we got to listen. It's everything he brought. He brought sickness, disease, poverty, all the other things that he brought, everything that he brought. None of that stuff has any power anymore because it was all attached to death. Stop looking at the movies with all that scary stuff. Now, let me tell you what it does. It tries to reinforce the image inside of you that there's something out there greater than you. But greater is he. You got authority over this entire planet. That's why Leroy got the whole thing, the revelation of money coming to me now. Because everything in this earth gonna have to obey your authority. Whatever you bind on earth. I'm telling you, folks, we have given him that. And he'll try to manifest and so forth to make you think he got some. But I ain't got no power. Now, let me tell you the power that he uses. Can I give you this? Because it's a revelation to you. He uses the power of your soul. Your soul has a lot of power resident in it. But God won't let you use it. He won't. The devil uses it. And he'll try to use it. Have you seen people, some of them walk on hot coals and so forth like that? It's mind. You call it mind over matter. There's a little power in the soul, folks. Adam was born with it. But God doesn't want you to use that. The only power he wants you to use is Holy Ghost power. Soul power is a dangerous thing. Are you following what I'm saying? But that's why, this is me now. I believe the madman of Gadara and all that and them strength to break all them things and so forth came from soul power. The devil comes and energizes and uses the soul. But you got a power that's greater than that. You can stop any power that the devil's trying to wield, but it's not his power because he's got no power. Zero, zip, goose egg, none. And you get that in your head. He had the power. He cannot come in your room anymore at night and snuff your life out and tell you that God had your name on a pegboard and he got the pegboard and plucked your name and you fell dead. That's a lie. It don't happen like that. When you get ready to go, you can tell every neighbor and everybody, say, listen, I'm going on next Tuesday at 10 o'clock. I'm going on up. Praise God. I'm ready. I'm 100 years old now. Praise God. I've lived a long life. I'm ready. You know what I mean? Don't let the devil tell you when to go. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, if you don't believe that, you need to get some of my earlier teachings on the fact of God has already promised you that you can live long and strong. Paul said, listen, over in Philippians chapter 1, he said, I've been up to heaven. I haven't seen that thing. I need to go on up there, but it's better for me to stay down here with you. Oh. What did he tell Moses over there? Moses was 120 years old. His eyesight was not dim, neither his natural forces abated, and God told him to go up there and die. What did he tell Jesus on the cross? What did he do? He gave up the ghost. Nobody killed him. He said, all things are yours. Life, death. All things are yours. Don't let the devil tell you what to do, not another time. You got what I'm saying? And I'm saying it don't make any difference what you're in. Don't let so much pressure come on you that you bow down. Are you following what I'm saying? You know you ain't got no business in that man's house that time of night. Put your panties on and get on out of there, because you ain't got no business in there anyway. Don't. The devil made me do that. The devil ain't made you do nothing. Get them panties on and get your butt on out of there and get home. All right, now that wasn't in my notes, but let's. All right, now. Turn to two places. Turn to Proverbs chapter 22 and Romans chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 22 and Romans chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 22, come on, Romans chapter 5. All right, are we there?
Yes, sir.
All right, look at Romans chapter 5 first, verse 17. For by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Now, God has a plan for us to take over this earth. He has a plan for us as believers to rule this earth. That's God's plan. If that's not your plan, you better line up with God's plan. All right, now, look over Proverbs chapter 22. Look what it said in verse 7. The rich rules over the who? Poor. And the borrower is servant to the who? The lender. So it tells me that it's impossible for you to rule in this human system without financial empowerment. I'll say it again. It's impossible for you to rule in this financial system without financial empowerment. You must have the money. You cannot rule in this system, and you are supposed to rule. Now, I just told you that the rich rule over the poor. Why do you think the ungodly want the rich? I mean, want the money. Why do you think Satan wants the ungodly with the money? Because he wants them to rule over you. Are you following what I'm saying? All right, now, the enemy tries to set up these boundaries to keep you out, political, economic, and religious. And religious boundaries, he'll try to get you to take a poverty vow, or think that people taking a poverty vow because they're in leadership, elite leadership, or they are agreeing with God. And that's a lie. Poverty is a curse. Any way you look at it, turn to Ecclesiastes chapter, after Proverbs, Ecclesiastes chapter 9, please. I'm almost done. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Stay with me just one more minute. Stay with me. Let me know when you get there. Are you there? See, distorted images. He gave you an image that Abraham was out there just taking care of little sheep, you know, and so forth. And it's not true. He had about 2,000 employees. And taking out sheep, he only have to count it. And I'm talking about the same thing as opposed to you. He was extremely rich. And then when he went down there, and Isaac, he sent Eleazar up there to get a wife for Isaac, and went up there to Laban's house. And he went up there, and here Rebecca met him out there, and he put a bracelet, you know, the thing said bracelet, so people think of a bracelet, a little something, you know, on your wrist. Ain't the bracelet. The bracelet fitted the whole arm. It was gold. It was shekels of gold. It says an earring, and they look at earrings, look at the little tinky earring. That wasn't an earring. Look at the thing. Look at my book, Bible, has a center column reference in it. It says headpiece. It was a crown. So if you don't have knowledge, as nobody's taught you who's supposed to be teaching you, then you'll think you got a little sheep. Now, that's not true, folks. I'm not talking about 50,000 in the bank. That ain't gonna do it. Have you seen what's going on in the world of poverty today? Those God assigns you to feed one of those nations over there. Folks, it shouldn't be any problem for us. But if we don't let the blessing of Abraham come on us, we can't do those things. That's what Joseph did. He fed the world. All right, let me just finish this. Look what it says here in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, chapter 9, and verse 16. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and the word, his words, are not heard. Now let me read it in another translation. Whatever a poor man says will not be appreciated. So you know you can't be poor. Because if you're going to be poor, ain't nobody going to want to hear what you got to say. All they got to do is look at your life. They say, well, how are you going to tell somebody something? Now, are you with me? All right, now, let me just wrap this up today. Integrity. Say integrity, somebody. Integrity. One man said it like this. The true measure of a man is not determined by what he does before men, but what he does when no one will ever know what he did. I'll try that again. The true measure of a man is not determined by what he does before men, but what he does when no one will ever know what he did. Integrity. Now, what am I saying? Lack of financial integrity makes access into the promised land impossible. Lack of financial integrity makes access into the promised land impossible. Now, I'm talking about defrauding people. I'm talking about bribing folks. I'm talking about embezzlement and robbing folks and robbing Caesar. You got to pay your taxes. Now, there's some legitimate ways that you can reduce your taxes, but you better get legitimate. Because if you robbing something, it ain't going to work. Because God's not going to honor that. I tell some of the pastors sometimes, I said, the reason why some of y'all ain't getting blessed because you're stealing money from the IRS. I said, you're stealing from the federal government. What you need to do is you need to find legitimate ways that you can reduce your taxes and so forth and do that. But I'm talking, and folks in the church, you know, you in your kitchen doing hair, getting money every night and not paying no taxes. I'm just telling you right now, you think you're going to get into the promised land? Won't happen. Won't happen. You know that money's supposed to be additional income. But you think that you're going to get in there because you're pulling something on somebody. But you can't, because God is the judge. He's the one that's taking you into the promised land, not a man. The devil will love. He don't mind if you cheat on your income tax when you ain't saved. But once you get saved, he's going to tell on you. Because he got this, that's his system. Y'all look, y'all done got serious now, boy. Y'all looking at me like I don't know what. You better get right. Look at Proverbs chapter 28. Are y'all glad you came here today? See, I'm going to teach you the whole counsel of God. I'm not going to be up here with some get-rich-quick scheme because it ain't in there. It ain't in the Bible. It's a blessing of Abraham I'm talking about. And you got to walk with integrity. That means what you doing when ain't nobody looking. Because God sees your every move. And he is your judge, not a man. Look at Proverbs chapter 28. Have you got it? Look what it says over here in verse 8. He that by usury and unjust gain increases his substance, He's going to gather it all right, but he's going to gather it for those who have pity on the poor. You got what I'm saying? So that's what I'm talking about right there. I'm talking about people who use other people. People who are cheating. People so forth and so on. Well, I need to pay this bill, but I see this new dress. I need to get that. Well, see, you ain't going to get into the promised land. You know you need to pay that bill. I mean, the people, you owe the people. Why are you going to not pay them and try to and get something that you could do without? See, I was getting amens until I started all of this. That car note is due, and you don't need to run out there and go on another vacation when that car note's due like that. And this teaching some of y'all have never had in your life. But this is a part of the redeemed from poverty. Because some of y'all are still staying in it because you're violating the law of integrity. And you cannot do that. Now you start dealing forthright with people. Now let me just finish by telling you this. This is what the devil does. The enemy tries to get, and that goes for the tithe, by the way. I didn't hit on that, but I'll just try to cover that next time and wrap this whole redeemed from poverty up. But the tithe. See, when you rob the tithe, then you're blocking the door to the promised land. That you can't get in there without the tithe. So anyway, the enemy enslaves, but God empowers. Now, I'll say that again. The enemy enslaves, but God empowers. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, here's what I mean. Somebody using someone else to get over on. I'm going to use them as a stepping stone to where I want to get. That's the devil. Now, he doesn't want to enslave two people. He wants to enslave the whole world. He's trying to use them to step up to where he wants to get. God is different. He empowers us. So the moment you get born again, he says to you, come on up here and sit up here with me. And whatever I got, you can share this. And if there's any knowledge I got, you can have that too. See, he's not trying to keep you down and keep him up. And that's where some people are. Because they don't feel comfortable if somebody else is rising. Come on now. And they do it subconsciously, meaning that I didn't mean to do it. But all you have to do is look at the fruit. Are y'all still with me here now? And I'm just saying, I just look at Chicago and I look at the situation and things that are going on. And sometimes I'm telling you, and that's why we started the Joseph Center. Because I saw in the joke, can I talk now? I saw in the joke, I went and got some statistics I started by revelation of God, but after that, I saw some things. I saw where in 2002, $144 billion came in from business in Chicago. Among the black community, now I'm not talking about other communities, I'm just zeroing in on that, because right now, on the bottom of just about every category are African Americans. And we got, and that's got to be changed, folks. Now, I'm only saying that because I'm for all people. Now, you know that. But, I mean, when you go to the prison and you see how many brothers are up in there, proportional to how many people in the normal society, you say, wait a minute. Somebody got to do something about this. That's what the money is for. Now, you got to hear what I'm saying, see? Because now it may need that I need to set up some kind of education program for them. Come on now, some kind of job training program. Are you following what I'm saying? Some kind of so forth and so on. And the system don't want me to get no money to do it. Well, I don't have to go to the system no more. And I never felt that it was up to the government to feed the poor. I always felt that the church supposed to be feeding the poor, because when we feed them, we can tell them who's feeding them. We can tell them that it's Jesus that's got the money, and this is the way I'm getting it to you. Remember, Satan wants to keep you down. Jesus wants to bring you up. My job is to teach you exactly what I know. I don't have no jealousy about it. I don't care if you try to outrun me. Now, you have to go pretty good to do it. But I don't care if you outrun me on some of your faith and some of your items and so forth. That's fine. But let me tell you, it doesn't bother me at all. What gives me joy is when one of the saints come and give me a testimony that what I taught worked. That's all I got. Give the Lord a praise for it. Lord, have mercy. Now remember, I'm just saying, with that much money coming in, $144 billion, and I found out that only $1 billion, a little over $1 billion, came from the African-American community. Yet, the African-American percentage of population is 40%. That's wrong. What's wrong with that figure? They don't own anything. They're working for somebody else. And that was a life of Jacob. Until Jacob woke up. Now, I'm going to start that next time. Praise God. Now, I'm going to try to call for souls as soon as we can kind of settle down. Thank some people. We got some emergencies. I'll let them go. If you're here today and God has spoken to your heart about being born again, that is good news. It means that God has not forgotten you. And thank God he hadn't forgotten me, because that's where I was. I thought I was okay and had gone to church when I was a kid and all this kind of stuff. But just because you went to church doesn't mean the church is inside of you. So what I had to do is I had to come to myself. I got sick in body, head over heels in debt. Next thing I know, I was just miserable. I was pretending, driving a Corvette and wearing sharp suits, but owed everybody in town. Just pretending. So what I'm saying is you can sit up here and pretend that you're doing okay. The reason why God brought you here is because he knows you're not doing okay. And you need, maybe, to be born again. So in my case, I thought because I had gone to church because I was a kid, I was okay. But now what happened when I got, again, things really turned bad and I got job performance started going south, and I just... one night just called and said, Lord, would you please help me? Well, that's all you got to say, because the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, the next thing I know, God sent one of the ladies who worked in my office by my place of work. And she asked me, did I want to go with her? And took me to a meeting up on the north side. Next thing, all that was history. I got born again. But not only that, the man of God laid hands on me. I got power of God went in my body, healed my body of something the doctor said I was going to have to live with. And not only that, God took me totally out of debt, and then my job performance went so high, I went to the top of the ladder in sales and computers in IBM downtown. So I'm just saying, I started to trust him, I mean, all the way, to the point that he, more and more, he worked with me. And one day he called me into my true calling. It happened in Minnesota. He called me under Isaiah chapter 6. He said, "Who will go for me?" And I said, "Here am I, Lord, send me." And I accepted the call to preach for the rest of my days in my life. And I tell you, I've never been so happy, never been so fulfilled. Because when you don't know God, you don't know your purpose. And when you don't know your purpose, you might be working, but you're not fulfilled. And so what I'm saying now is come back home to God. Come back to the one who made you, because he knows what he made you for. And if you're here today, that's why he brought you, because he's trying to get you back to the hookup. He's trying to get you hooked up with the one who made you so that he can put you in the thing that you're supposed to do best. And so that's good news. But not only that, when you come to him, he blots out all your past so that you can go free and you can have a second chance of life. You can, all the things that you've done in your past, everything, even your mind, those old thoughts, he comes in and erases all those things, takes that sting out of life and puts you in a place where you have peace and joy. But not only that, all the things that I talked about, the blessing of Abraham, now you're set up. Now, not only are you going to be blessed, but he wants you to be a blessing. And I'm going to tell you, the real joy is in giving. When you see others hurting and you got something to help them with, boy, let me tell you, it really, really can bless you. We've given away all kinds of things, cars and everything. And let me tell you, look what God is doing. The more I give, the more is given unto me. He just keeps blessing me. Now, that's what I'm talking about. That's a life of fulfillment. That's a life that God wants you to live. So if you're here today, I'm not asking you to join this church. You can do that today. But I'm asking you today to seek him and let him direct your path. Let him be the head of your life. And you not try to run it in your own strength anymore. So I'm asking you today that if you know that I'm talking to you, I want to pray with you now. I want to pray the same prayer for you that they prayed for me that brought me into the kingdom of God. And once you're in the kingdom, God then starts to direct you like never before. You can leave this place a changed person today. So if you like this, I'm talking about a miracle now, can take place in your life today. And if you need a miracle, this is your day. I want to pray with you right now. I want to pray the same prayer they prayed for me and bring you into the kingdom of God and everything that God has. If you'd like me to do that, I want you to do something. I want you to listen to your heart. Don't listen to your head, because sometimes the enemy can talk to your head and try to put all kinds of suggestions in there, like you can wait till next time, or you don't know these people, or da, 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 da. And all those things try to bring fear in your heart. But just listen to your heart, because God's speaking to it right now. So if you're here right now and you know that I'm talking to you, I want to pray with you. And here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm asking you to do something that takes a bold step of faith. Now look around at people, because they can't save you. Look only to Jesus. I want you to do something. Take a step of faith. Get up out of your chair. Come up here to the altar right now and stand with me. And let me pray for you right now. Come on, brother. Come on, brother. Anybody else? Come right on, sister. Anybody else? Don't put it off. Because next time may not come. This may be the last time you'll ever hear his voice. Come on, come on, come on up with me right now. Praise God. Come on up with me right now. Come on, don't be embarrassed. Come on, come just like you are. I want to call you one more time. I want to call somebody who didn't move. And the reason why you didn't move, because you're busy offering yourself some kind of excuse. Now, let me tell you something. I don't care how tough you think you are no match for Satan. And if you don't come in and get in God's ark, you are in Satan's hands. And I want you to get out of his hands, because the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and destroy you. Now, I want you to do something. Stop trying to think this out and just go off of raw faith and get up out of that chair right now and come on up here. Whoever that is I'm talking to. Come on up, brother. Come on up, sister. Come on, just like you are. Come on down. Come on, just like you are. Come on, if God moved you to come, you come just like you are. Don't let anybody stop you. That's been your problem. You've been listening to the wrong people. Come on, just like you are, just like you are, just like you are, just like you are. Come, just like you are. Now, can I do this? Can I call anybody here that's been a backslider? You've been born again before, but you living now like you never born again in your life. And doing the things that you're doing, you know that a born again person cannot do. You do not want to die in that state. So whoever you are, the devil's trying to use you as a trophy as I speak. Break his power right now. Get up out of your chair. Come on up here in this line. Break his power right now. Break his power right now. Come on. Come on down. Let me do this. Is there somebody here that God has spoken to you, but you didn't move yet? And you know you need to come. Whoever that is, just obey God right now. Just obey God. Just blank everything out of your mind. Just obey God right now. Get up out of your chair and come on up here. Whoever that is. I know I'm talking to somebody. Just obey God right now. Let's lift your right hand up to heaven, please, and repeat this prayer after me. Dear Lord, I come to you now just as I am. You know my life. You know how I've lived. Forgive me, Lord. I repent of my sins. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died for my sins. And on the third day, He was raised from the dead. Lord Jesus, I'm asking you, come into my heart. Live your life in me and through me from now on. From this day forward, I belong to you. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right, you can put your hands down. Now, did anybody say that prayer with us and you said it in your chair and you weren't up here? We're going to take them and give them some instruction. We want you to go with us. Anybody said that prayer and you weren't up here, but then after you said that prayer, you said, I should have been there. Whoever that is, let me give you a moment. Get up out of your chair and come on up here and join us right now. Anybody? Come on up. Sir. Anybody else? You said that prayer and you know you shouldn't have been up here. Come on, don't feel ashamed. Everyone got to come this way. Got to come the same way. Amen. Wonderful. All right, now what we're going to do is we have one of our ministers. He has his hand held up. He's going to take you in a room right outside this auditorium and give you some instructions. Now, he's going to give you the instructions, same instructions I followed, and they followed. Same instruction to people who first got started in the earth. Same church, same, you're part of the same family. You're going to get the same instructions. Now, obey those instructions so when you leave this place today, you will never be the same again in your life. Something has happened to you when you came to this altar. And God's going to show you when you go back out there that now you belong to Him. You don't belong to the devil anymore. The devil can't take you out because God's got you in. And He's going to have your back when nobody else can be back there. I'm telling you, I'm a living example. So God has got a good plan for your life. And there's some things that you're gifted in that you don't even know you're gifted in until God shows you. So this is going to be a great day for you. If you came with somebody, they'll wait on you till you get done. We're glad that you came. Praise God. Turn to your right. Follow Him. Amen. Praise God. Did we get somewhere today? You talking about something? How much power does the devil have over you? Absolutely none. Absolutely none. Stop looking at him as if he's got power. Stop looking at the movies. Because they're trying to put an image in you that the devil's got power. He's got none over you. And the only power he tries to exert is some power that he works through the soul of mankind and try to exert power called witchcraft sometimes. But the Bible says those who are in the spirit got power over all the witchcraft and everything else they can. So you don't have nothing to fear at all. I said at all. Touch somebody's hand, let's touch and agree. Father, thank you so much for the word today and thank you for these wonderful people of God. Father, as we just grow in the spirit and grow in the things of God, we thank you that you are adding increase to us more and more. We are your children. We're seated together with him in heavenly places, and we are reigning as kings in life by this one Jesus Christ. Thank you for it. Give you praise. Call it done in Jesus' name. Amen.